Heavenly Father, as we come to unpack and reflect on your word, may you open our hearts, our minds, our ears, our eyes to what you want to say to us. And Lord, by your Holy Spirit, may that be implanted in our hearts. And let none of us leave here this morning unchanged, for we will have met with our risen Saviour Jesus. And so, Lord, I pray, may the meditation of my heart and the words on my lips be of you. For I ask it in your precious name. Amen. And before I unpack, I'm going to have a quick slurp. I'm reflecting on the Luke reading this morning. And I will at odd times also sucker fisherman's friends keep going. Get to it is the message of this passage. Mission possible or mission impossible? We all remember the old TV series, don't we? Your mission, Jim, should you wish to accept it. This tape will self-destruct in 10 seconds. Fortunately, this tape didn't destruct in 10 seconds, and we still have these words. And I just want to reflect simply this morning on some of these words. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them on ahead of him in pairs to every town and place where he himself intended to go. Do you ever ask why 72? We'd had 12 disciples. There were many followers of Jesus. Well, biblical scholars think that it reflects perhaps Moses' choice of 70 elders to be his helpers back in Numbers 11. Because remember, Jesus was a Jew. He knew the Old Testament. He was grounded and based on it. So this may well have been what was in Luke's mind. But the more strongly, possibly an influence is also Genesis 10, where we read in the Hebrew text, 70 nations, or in the Greek text, 72. But it doesn't really matter. The Lord is appointing people to go about his kingdom business. He's calling them to go ahead of him into the places where Jesus will be. And it's true for us today, as disciples, as followers of Jesus, we're called to go where Jesus is going to be. Because if we take Jesus in our hearts into a situation, into an area, then we will be like those 72, going ahead of him and preparing the way. Luke was perhaps here anticipating the mission to the nations begun at Pentecost, where we read that every nation under heaven, and this is perhaps why when they go into a town, they're told to eat what is set before them. Because like good Jews, they would eat kosher. And they may well go into a Gentile town and not have kosher available to them. Now, I enjoyed myself last weekend cooking the barbecue. I'm a firm believer that food is a critical part of spreading the gospel. Food can be a missional activity. Have people round for a meal. Sit with somebody with a coffee or something in a coffee shop and you'll get a conversation going. And you can soon find out where that person is. But we go on, don't we? I'm sending you out like lambs into the midst of wolves. Carry no purse, no bag, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Hang on, I thought we were supposed to be doing some good stuff here. You're now telling us we're going into what could be a dangerous situation. Now, fortunately, in this country, we're free to spread the gospel. We face no legal or illegal impediment to sharing our views, our beliefs, sharing our Jesus. So Jesus sent them out in twos because they could support each other. And we see this happening time and time again. Even with Jesus' entry into Jerusalem, he sent two ahead to get the colt. Running ahead not only announces Christ is coming, but implies preparation. And it points to the true missional act that we should all be involved in. There is, of course, an end times flavour to this passage, and we note that it also talks about the harvest. But we are to go where God sends us. To carry no purse, no bag, no sandals, and greet nobody on the road sounds harsh. But if you are totally reliant on the people around you, you have more of a link with them. If you rock up to a village in a fancy camper van, you can isolate yourself. If you walk into that village and ask for shelter or food, you will very quickly find out if that village, that community, is welcoming. You are putting yourself in the hands of God if you travel in that way. And this is what they were called to do. They were called to go into a village and greet whoever welcomed them with peace to this house. And it says, doesn't it, remain in the same house, eating and drinking whatever they provide, for the labourer deserves to be paid. Do not move about from house to house. What's going on there? Well, missionaries at this time were totally dependent on the hospitality of their hosts. And it was very common practice for early Christians to invite travellers into their homes. We see this in the missions of Paul and his associates later on. There was to be no shopping about for the best rooms, the best food. They were simply to receive the hospitality they were given. And if they didn't receive hospitality, they were told to move on. But we'll come to more of that later. We are, as Christians, as disciples, as followers of Jesus, we're reliant on each other, aren't we, in our Christian communities. And it's a picture of this that we see here. Now, there are some who are spiritual butterflies who will go from one church to another. Well, I'll have that bit of theology and that bit of theology, and I agree with this, but I don't agree with that. We're called to stay put, good or bad. We're called to accept the hospitality of those who greet us. Eating and drinking whatever's provided to us, physically, metaphorically. For the labourer deserves to be paid. There is nothing wrong with being supported in the ministry you are doing. You got that, Danielle? This is why ministers are called apart and paid a stipend. The church doesn't pay them to do their job. Actually, the church pays them not to do a job so that they can focus on the spiritual needs of those in that community. And also, whilst they serve that community should never be their masters. Controversial, I know. But we'll come on to that a bit later. But whenever you enter a town and they do not welcome you, go out into its streets and say, even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off in protest against you. There is something symbolic about the sandal in the Middle East. Do you remember when Saddam was overthrown? They used to throw sandals at his statues. There's something very insulting about throwing a sandal, shaking the dust off the sandal. You're saying, I am done. If you won't listen, I'm not going to waste time with you. But whoever listens to you listens to me. And whoever rejects you rejects me. And whoever rejects me rejects the one who sent me. In 72, return with joy, saying, Lord, in your name, even the demons submitted to us. If you have to leave a community, I'm talking to talking about the disciples, their departure was to be brief, leaving a person to be judged by what they had missed, that the kingdom of God was near. There will be a judgment, but that will be a word for Jesus to speak. What I say in that sort of situation, a judgment like that is above my pay grade. It's not for me to judge. Jesus says here that the people, the missionaries he sent out, it was not part of their message to be judgmental. The preachers were not authorized to judge. Simply to say that the kingdom of God has come near. They simply had to lay before the people they were speaking to Jesus, the kingdom of God and the Holy Spirit would do the rest. Now, the 72 came back and they were ecstatic. We've seen such wondrous signs and wonders. And Jesus said this. Indeed, I've given you authority to tread on snakes and scorpions and over all powers of the enemy, and nothing will hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice at this, that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Now, it fascinates me that a small little passage like this can create such a subculture. Because if you go into the southern United States, you will find people that pick up snakes and scorpions as part of their services. It's not something I would enjoy. But as proof that they are in God's will. But here it speaks very clearly that we're not to rejoice in what gifts we have seen given or what gifts we have received. Simply to rejoice that your name is written in the book of heaven. Triumphalism is not appropriate among disciples. It's inappropriate, for our chief joy should be not the gifts and powers that we have, but that God has received and accepted us. No matter what we've done, I saw a post in social media recently and said, you've died and gone to heaven and the first person you see is Adolf Hitler. That made me start thinking. And what they were trying to say is, it's not about what we've done. It's about that God has received and accepted us, and that we have been forgiven. I was once asked by a church I was in discussions with, how many people have you led to Christ? It's a common question. If you're in an interview panel, people seem to like to measure things that way. And as a chaplain, I was often asked, how many deathbed confessions? And my answer's none. That's not my role. That's the role of the Holy Spirit. My name's written in the book of heaven, and I will be about Jesus' business. Remember the words in Matthew. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? We cast out demons in your name. We do many works in your name. And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me. So, let's come to the questions I often ask when I'm reflecting on a passage. What exactly is Jesus saying here? And what are we going to do about it? Let those who have ears hear. We don't have to wrap up our discussions with people in deep theological arguments. Very often, all we need to say is Jesus loves you. Jesus has forgiven you. And Jesus wants you to be his son or daughter. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Go on your way, I'm sending you out like lambs into the midst of wolves. Now, when we were in Canada recently, we didn't see any wolves. But driving back to the hotel on the edge of town one night, there was a coyote. Now, I'm not going to argue with a coyote because they're quite big. And they don't just chase Roadrunner like in the cartoons. I think a hungry coyote could do you a lot of damage. How many of you remember the American TV program, Hill Street Blues? Yay, good for you. How did the watch commander end each briefing? Let's be careful out there, people. And this is what God is saying. I'm sending you out amongst wolves. You may face difficulties, but be careful. You're in pairs. You've got a support buddy with you. Just be careful. Carry no purse, no bag, no sandal, and greet no one on the road. Travel light. Don't hold on to things too tightly. Now, I used to do a lot of backpacking when I was considerably younger and lighter than I am now. And we reckoned we could carry enough to live in the hills and mountains of Britain for a week And we always tried to get it under £30. 28 was ideal in the rucksack. But believe me, once you've slogged up a mountain with a few pounds too much, you know you learn the lesson of travelling light. Our modern society likes to surround us with stuff. Jesus says, no purse, no bag, no sandals. Travel light. Don't hold on to things. And that's physical things, as well as sometimes spiritual things. Because we as a church, we love our tradition, don't we? We love our tradition. And tradition is not a bad thing. But tradition for tradition's sake is a bad thing. One of the worst things you'll hear in a church is, but we've always done it this way. God is about doing things new. Travel light, don't hold on to things. Move on and don't waste time arguing. Now that seems a very strange thing to do. But it clearly says, doesn't it? If they do not welcome you, go out into the street and shake the dust from your sandals. We're not called to political arguments. We're not called to defend how many angels can you fit on a pinhead. We are called to share the good news of Jesus Christ. If people won't listen, move on. And finally, one of the most encouraging things that I can read as a minister. It's not all about me. Remember that, Danielle. Whoever listens to you, listens to me. Whoever rejects you, rejects me. And whoever rejects me, rejects the one who sent me. We can get hung up, can't we, if people won't listen to us. We have the wonderful good news of Jesus. We can only simply put it before the people and pray that by the Holy Spirit's power they will accept it. If they don't, it's not about you. They're not rejecting you. They're rejecting Jesus. They're rejecting the fact that the kingdom of heaven has come near. They're rejecting the best offer they will ever receive. So those who have ears, let them hear. Be careful as you go about it. Travel light. Move on. Don't waste time arguing. And remember, as we used to say in college, didn't we, Sian? The answer to any question was Jesus. It's not me. It's not Sian. It's not Danielle. It's not even Janet. It's Jesus. My friends, may you have Jesus in your heart and on your lips as you go about his kingdom business day to day. Share him in the coffee shops and the supermarket till lines with the people you meet. Don't hit them over the head with the Bible. Just live as Jesus has called you to live. And they will see there is something different about you. And they will want to know why and who you are, the person you are. And the answer is Jesus. Amen? Amen. Right. Just remember those things. Rejoice. Your names are written in heaven. Because it doesn't get any better.